All right, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. I can't really get very far from this tonight. You know, many times in the New Testament, and really the Old Testament too, it says the just shall live by faith. You know, we parents, we don't really require our children to live by faith. Have you ever noticed that? You know, we've got a newborn in the house. We've got not in our house, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not bleeding for the Abraham and Sarah anointing. Glory to God. But we have a new grandbaby, granddaughter. She's about 9 months old now, I guess. You know, when she gets hungry, she has a real good way of letting you know. I mean, she starts a squalling and a bawling. You know, it just doesn't work to say, now, honey, we want you to ask for the milk. Believe you receive when you pray. and then you shall have it. Confess it in, honey. Come on now. Confess it in. See, we don't do it like that, do we? Did you know God didn't either in the beginning? He didn't either in the beginning. All you got to do is read Genesis 1. Before He ever made Adam and Eve, before He ever made His beloved children, He first prepared the garden. I started to say, like, you know, when the baby's coming, you start getting the bedroom ready, don't you? And you manage the painting and the redecorating and buying all of the things, you know. Well, God did exactly that same thing. And He prepared it. And He saw and it was very good. And He made the sun and it was very good. And He made all of these things. And He had everything 100% ready. Everything that Adam and Eve would ever need. Every provision was met, not by faith, but let's say it this way, by sight and by need. Whatever they needed, it was right there by sight, by touch. And that's the way God originally set it up. So, you know, we're thinking, well, I kind of wish it was still that way. You know, we read in the Bible about there's a tree of life. How about that one where it talks about the one in heaven planted by the rivers of water it has healing in its leaves, you know. You just go, well, I need healing for a cold. And, oh, there it is. Just go pick it off the tree and eat it. Boy, I'd like to have that tree growing in my backyard. Wouldn't you like to have that tree? Or the prosperity, you know, the proverbial money tree. You know? I go pick 100 off of there, you know. Just whatever you needed, you know. Well, why is it required that we live by faith and not by sight? So let's look at these two verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Did I ever say turn there? Mm-hmm. Yes. Hey. I didn't? Oh, okay, good. I thought he said I didn't. Messing with the teacher, don't mess with me. No. You're sitting too close to Daisy. Anyway. So let's look here in... and I know this passage, he's really teaching, especially in the next chapter, Paul is teaching about our glorified body. He's really teaching on that subject. But he's also talking about all the trouble that you have as a Christian trying to live a holy life, and not just the problems overcoming the appetites of the body, but have you noticed that the world will give you some trouble, and unbelieving friends will give you some trouble, and you know, other religions now are going to give you trouble? Because you can back up here and see in this chapter, before we look at this verse, starting 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So you can tell he's talking about problems from without, you know, distresses and perplexities. I keep telling you, I read that and I go, I know that they were going to the prayer center. You know what I mean? You know, what was that Dave says? You get saved and there's a big, some devil comes and paints a bullseye right on your back, you know. Then you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and then all hell breaks loose, you know. And then you move to the prayer center, and that's the center of the bullseye. Okay. But you guys are survivors. Amen. All right. So let's come on down here, though. He says, so based on all those kind of things, verse 16, he says, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction. That's all inclusive. It doesn't matter what you're going through. our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What he's talking about there, the little shortness of our lifetime on this earth compared to eternity, the only time that we're really going to have the opportunity to serve him in the same way, you know, against the flesh and against all this maniac on running loose on earth, the little time that we steward our, these lives now compared to all eternity that we're going to have with him. He said this light affliction, no matter how tough it seems at the time, it's just for a moment if you'll think about it in the right light. Compared to eternity, it's just nothing. It's a breath. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While, now that's a, that means that it does that while you do this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means temporary. That also means subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They're not changeable. And they last forever. So here we go. And then even in the next chapter, just one more verse. Here it is, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Why is it so required that we walk by faith? Why doesn't God just... Why isn't the healing tree parked out in the, you know, planted out behind the church here? You just go pick the healing fruit off of it. If you're blind, you know, you pick the seeing fruit. If you're deaf, you pick the hearing fruit. Why isn't it still by sight? Well, that's not God's fault. That's Adam's fault. Go all the way back to Genesis 3. Because I'm telling you, what I was hearing, you can become expert at living by faith. You can become as expert at living by faith as unbelievers are living by sight. It can become common. It can become normal for you. And you don't have to experience lack at all in any realm at any time. That doesn't mean the devil's going to quit throwing the kitchen sink at you. He's going to keep throwing it. But you're going to be expert at deflecting those and still getting accomplishing what it is God's called you to do in your life. Because the provision is there, people. Everything you need is still provided. It's just not by sight. It is by faith. But it's just as real. And it's just as there. Will that preach? Just as there. It's just not by sight. But it's received by faith. And you can have it. We can all have it. Getting excited myself. All right, now Genesis chapter 3. Because God is a provider. See, if we was really going to go on with that, we'd go over to Hebrews 11:1. Where it also talks about that, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Come on down to verse 6. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, why do you have to do that by faith? Because you don't do it by sight. But you've got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're going to quit. If you do believe it, you're going to keep pressing in until you get it. And you can become expert at getting it. God does not intend for His children to live in lack, poverty, and sickness, and always behind the eight ball when it comes to the devil. Jesus said, I come that you have life and have it more abundantly. So there's a way to have this and have it now. But it's just not by sight. So we've got to understand this in a better way than we have in the past. All right, Genesis chapter 3. Now here we go. God had already made Adam and Eve. They're in the garden. Everything is provided. There's not a single need. This is before the fall, and everything is provided by sight. The only thing God has said to them that they have to believe by faith is one thing. What did He tell Adam? That one tree over there, don't eat the fruit off of that tree. If you eat the fruit off of that tree in that same day, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Isn't that what He said? Shall surely die. Now that's the only thing that they had to live by faith. They hadn't seen that happen. They had to take God's word for it. Can I say it that way? So for living by faith, for them, living according to what God said, something that they hadn't seen, that's the only thing they had to live by faith. Don't eat of that fruit. If you eat of that fruit, you will die. And in the same day that you eat of it, you'll surely die. Isn't that what He said? All right. Well, here comes the tempter. He operates pretty much the same way today as He did then. So Genesis 3 verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman," now here we go. This is called doctrines of devils. This is when the devil starts preaching a doctrine that exactly opposite to what God says. And there's a high priestess today on national television preaching a doctrine of devils, saying there's many paths to God. She's on Channel 6 at 4 o'clock. Anyway. Got the biggest church on earth right now. And saying there's many paths to God. And it's not true and never will be true. How do I know that? I have faith in what Jesus said. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
That's right.
Gary, how do you know that's true? Because I have faith that it's true.
That's right.
I believe He is who He says He is.
Amen.
He is the Son of God. He's either who He says He is or He's a blithering idiot that should be locked away somewhere.
Amen. That's right.
Because He said, unless you Hallelujah. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You either believe He is who He says He is, or He's a raving lunatic. He's not just a good man. You know, Islam, they'll go, oh yeah, He was a prophet, but He's not the Son of God. He's either the Son of God, or He's a raving lunatic. Get it straight. He didn't leave us that option. But how do you know that's true? It's called faith. I believe it, because He said it. That's all the evidence that I need. There's a book out right now saying that Jesus didn't come as the Messiah to the Jews. His name's John Hagee. I don't care. If you haven't seen that malarkey, John Hagee, oh yeah. Yeah, He didn't come as the Messiah to the Jews, you know. And, yeah, tell me. Well, I think another Jew who knows a little more than John Hagee, another Jew named John who wrote those little five chapters that Dave was talking about today. He said, who is he a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? That word Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. It is the spirit of Antichrist. You know? And John is a Jew, for crying out loud. I think he knows more than John Hagee.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's right.
He knew he was the Messiah, the Christ of the Jew, for crying out loud. Then we have him here in Tulsa to speak, you know? It'll be a shame. Shame! Oh. Did I get excited? How does Dave do? Did I get excited?
Yes.
Sorry. Did I get red? I get red. Good. No, I don't want to do it again. I get it. We're coming into a dangerous time. I am so glad that we go to this church.
Amen.
And no wonder God says He wants a revival of doctrine and a revival of truth and sanity and soundness of mind. I mean, the world's gone crazy. Just all of a sudden, teachers that's been teaching, you know, right for years and decades, and all of a sudden now they've gone squirrely on you, you know? Anyway. Devil says, Norval. Norval says, you gotta watch your mind. It's like a little squirrel. It'll just jump from limb to limb and limb all the time. You gotta watch your mind. Don't let your mind get like a squirrel. You gotta keep your mind focused on the Word of God. What did Jesus say? Well, anyway, here we go. Back to this. Doctrines of devils. The devil will come just directly and say exact opposite of what God says. So she says, now we're not supposed to eat of the fruit of that tree, lest if we eat it, we'll surely die. And look at this. Verse 4. And the serpent, the devil, said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Boy, I mean direct opposition to the Word of God. Just directly. You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, later on, in the Old Testament, we're given a behind-the-scenes look into heaven before Lucifer fell. Remember what was it that he wanted? He said, I will ascend the mountains of God. I will ascend above His throne. I will be as the Most High. See, he's trying to draw them into the same pride that he's always had. What he's really saying there in plain old Pottawatomie County English, he's saying, look, you don't have to listen to what God says. You eat that fruit, You'll be your own God. And that's the doctrine that's being taught in this New Age thing. Oh yeah, you're just... I heard one of them say it like this. God is like the ocean. And you're just like a little cup of that water. You're just a little cup of God. Oh, good. Yeah. Lord. Oh yeah, yeah. So how could you not be okay? In the beginning, that's not far off. You know, if there hadn't been a fall, that could have been okay. But what they don't realize is that the fall, sin entered and death entered with sin. Man doesn't have that little cup of God when he's born now. He has a little cup of the devil. Now he's made in the image of God, but it's perverted, it's fallen, it's not like God made man originally. You know, I remember that vision he gave me that time, because it was a good question. I didn't know the answer for years, and I say, well, why did Jesus have to go through the cross and all of that? You know, couldn't God just forgive Adam? I thought that was a good question. I didn't know the answer for years. So I was praying and meditating through there, and you can't force an answer like that. But, you know, Romans and all the different places where it tells us what really happened in spiritual death. And one day God just gave me this little vision. And, yeah, we got time for this again. Gave me this little vision. And I know it didn't literally happen like this, but God was trying to get across to me the severity of the fall of man. See, we just think we're okay. We just need to be forgiven. Here's what I saw. When Adam and Eve ate of that apple, I mean, their whole countenance changed. Their bones started cracking and popping. Their skin turned green. Both of them had three eyes. Tentacles were coming out of their head. They were all shriveled up like this and slobber running out one corner of their mouth, you know. And here's, you know, God's looking for Adam in the garden after the, you know, where art thou, Adam? And Adam comes slithering out from behind a bush, you know, and in that condition, picture it, tentacles coming out of his head, three eyeballs, green skin. He goes, can't you just forgive me? God's looking at this aberration, you know. He's going, I'm going to forgive you all right. I'm going to kill two sheep here in just a minute. I'm going to clothe you with their skins. We've got a little bigger problem here than just forgiveness. You are no longer in the image that I created you. Now, I know that didn't literally happen on the outside, but in our nature, that is exactly what happened. Man was perverted and changed and twisted and no longer in his spirit made in that image of God. And God says, I'm going to forgive you. We're going to provide that, but we're going to go a long way beyond there. I want you back the way I originally made you. I want you made and conformed back to the image of my Son, it says in Romans 8. Glory to God. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Thank God for praying in other tongues and meditating the Word of God. Well, anyhow, let's go on now, because the subject tonight now is, why are we so required to walk by faith? And can we become expert at it? Yes, you can. All right, so first off here in verse 5, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, you won't have to go to Him anymore to find out what's right and what's wrong. Reminds me of Judges, you know. Every man did what was right in his own sight. Yeah, it worked real well. Anyway, so verse 6. Now, notice this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she listened to the devil, and then notice how it emphasizes what she saw. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and you could say, and she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And I don't know why I didn't see this next little part for years. And gave also unto her husband with her. Boy, if you underline anything in your Bible, underline with her. He was standing there the whole time. He was standing there the whole time. And he did eat. Now, here's another question that I didn't have a good answer to for years. Who was it that ate the apple first? It was Eve. You know, did she not have the commandment? Yes, she knew what it was. Now, God had given it to Adam, but he had shared it with her. It didn't seem fair. Why is he picking on me? The woman did it. Of course, Adam tried that, didn't he? It's this woman you gave me. But the New Testament is very clear that it lays the sin to Adam and not Eve. And I really had, I mean, I know that it said that, but I couldn't really understand why it said that for years until one day this went off in me and I said, oh my God. Now watch this. I need Abby, come help me a minute. Sorry, you're going to fall. You're going to sin. Now I'm Adam. Here's Eve. I'm watching. Am I with her? All right. Here's the devil. He's brand new tonight, but we're going to make him the devil. It's Doug, right? Doug's standing. All right. Now he's tempting. You know, he's tempting her. Hold out that apple to her. Here you go. Look at it. Look at that. Yeah. And so he's tempting her, and I'm watching. See, I'm Adam, and I'm watching this whole thing. I'm hearing everything. I'm watching everything. And what had God said? In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He watches her take the fruit. You can sit down there so they can see this. She eats a part of it first. I'm with her, but I'm watching. I'm watching. What did God say? She's going to die the same day she eats. I'm watching. I'm watching by sight, am I not? Now, God's Word says, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. But I am watching by sight. And I don't see her die. And I heard the same words that the devil said, and I'm going, maybe the devil's right. Maybe I can be my own God. Maybe God doesn't know everything. Give me a piece of that apple. Now see, Eve was deceived. Adam watched the whole thing, and he made a logical choice based on sight. When he saw with his eyes that Eve did not fall dead to the ground, he made a decision and said, what I see is what I'm going to believe instead of what God has said. The way out of God's grace, if you'll allow me, the way out of that perfection was to walk by sight. And the only way today back into God's grace is by faith. Give the Lord a hand. Oh, that set me free when I saw that. I said, well, no wonder we have to do it. He has to until the end of this dispensation, until there's a new heaven and a new earth. It's got to be by faith. Because living by sight was the way out of God's grace. The only way back into it is to live by faith in God's Word. Well, the devil hasn't changed, has he? God will say anything to you, anything. I want you to give, like in our case, I want you to give away your tapes free. Boy, if you're going to be moved by, by sight, I want you to give away your tapes free. You know, it's what he told Sue and I. And, I mean, we needed money like anybody needs money, you know. And what did he say? And I'm going to speak to the hearts of the people I choose. They're going to support the needs of the ministry in you. Sounds great. Sounds perfect. Started giving them away. Wasn't nobody giving nothing. Nothing. For years, I mean, money stayed away in great abundance. You think the devil didn't come? Well, sure you heard God. You know, sure you heard, hath God said. You know, he hasn't changed. Sure God said that. And then tempted me with everything in the world, you know, to try and violate what God had said. It doesn't matter what it is that he tells you. The enemy is going to try and get you looking by sight and doubt what God has said. Now listen, we are spirit-born creatures. Actually, this won't say creatures now. We're spirit-born children of our Father. You're not in a religion. I know, Doug, it's not preaching at you tonight. I appreciate Mike. You're not in a religion. You're in a family. You're in a family. We have got to think like that. See? Now, the thing of it is, the family that we belong to is an invisible kingdom from this world. Now, unless he carries you over or takes you up to the third heaven, and then you'll see things that it's unspeakable, you know, for man to say. But when it says the just shall live by faith and not by sight, thank you. I'm preaching up a sweat tonight. I'm doing good. We can do this. Now, at first it seems awkward. It seems stumbling. It seems slow. Anyone ever think? But when I watch Jesus, it's not that way. Yes, go to Hebrews 12. Oh, no. See, this is right where Dave was teaching last week. Hebrews 12. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It just amazes me how the Holy Spirit will tie these things together in seasons, you know. I didn't realize that we were headed there. See, we really only have one to look at. Well, we have this great cloud of witnesses from the Old Testament that in Hebrews 11 talking about Noah and Moses and Abraham and all of them. But it says, really, they're not really ultimately patterns for us. We can learn examples, and they're all written for our admonishment, and they changed the generation they lived in. But really, we're in a whole dispensation than they were. We have somebody else. We have somebody higher than Moses. We got somebody higher than Abraham. See, the only real pattern for us is Jesus. That's why it says here, verse 2, wherefore, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, that means the developer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Dave talked eloquently on this passage, came all the way down through here, talking about how does God take us to the woodshed when we need to be spanked? How does he do it? See, religion always told me, well, he'll send cancer and straighten you up, you know. He'll send hard times, close down your business because you're getting prideful. Like, God, you know, that car wreck, that was from God because you're just getting a little bit too, you know. For crying out loud, he is the father of your spirit. It says we had fathers in the flesh that corrected us in the flesh. Well, the father of your spirit's going to correct you in your spirit. And that's why it says there, coming down through chapter 12, the way that it happens here is, verse 12, how does he chasten you? Whenever he catches you doing this, verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Boy, when the circumstances are all about you, when sight, what you're seeing, the circumstances, how did Paul say it? Distresses, perplexities, thank you. All the dissensions and all these things are happening. And, you know, your car breaks down. Your kids talk back to you. People at church says your wife's dressing you funny. You know, whatever it is, it could be a thousand, you know, or a health report, financial report, when everything's bad and it's looking worse all the time. We should be praising and worshiping God all the, if we're living by faith in the kingdom that we're really from, our hands should be up and we should be strong in faith with our knees strong, praising and worshiping God. The chastising you get is when you let those circumstances beat you down to the point you don't even want to raise your hands anymore and worship Him. And don't tell me He doesn't. That's the devil's whole purpose, is to get you so beat down you don't believe any of it anymore. He says, you better, here's the chastening, lift up those hands. Whoa. Previous chapter, didn't I tell you, he that comes to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. You better remember what faith is. Lift up those hands, strengthen the knees. Don't you dare be turned out of the way. Part of living by faith is to have the Abbey anointing.
Amen.
Well, it's a big part of it. Living that joyful, happy, even though I don't understand what's going on all the time. You know, I mean, I don't understand the attacks and everything. I'm happy anyway. Why? Because I win.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We need a big dose of that. It's good. Lift up those hands and praise and worship God. But as I see, now if we're going to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, now He's living by faith. Is that not right? You talk about anybody that's walking by faith and not by sight, it's Jesus. I notice when He would pray, there was not this long lagging period of time till people got healed. You know? Now for us it is, and I'm going, or up until now, it's pretty much been that way. Unless it's by the gifts. Now, we're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit at this moment. All right? Gifts. Hey, when the gift of faith falls on you, even you can believe it. You know, it's His faith you got now, not your own, okay? But I'm talking about living by faith. The just shall live by faith. When I watch Jesus, Matthew. Now, it doesn't mean that trouble didn't come. Dear Lord, have you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John lately? Everywhere the man went, the devil was stirring up trouble, trying to throw him off the brow of the hill, trying to stir up the religious people all the time, everywhere that he went. But he also demonstrated the kingdom of God everywhere he went. And there was not this long lag time from the time he would pray or do whatever till the time the manifestation came. we're living way beneath our inheritance, people. And it can become, I am convinced, I'm not saying it as well as it is on the inside of me, but I'll do better every time I do this. He's trying to bring us to a place where we literally, see, what does it really say? We live by faith. We live. Right now we're living by breathing. How many of you ask for a breath of air? Believe you receive a breath of air? Confess in a breath of air? And then you have a breath of air. No, it doesn't work that way. It just works because it's natural to you. Isn't that right? What he's saying is faith can become as natural as we're breathing. It can become just as natural, because that's really the realm that we're born from. It's the flesh and the soul that has to be continually renewed. But the part of us that's truly born of God breathes the atmosphere of faith. We live that atmosphere. It's more real to us than the chair you're sitting in. More real than the right arm. Hallelujah. Y'all are quiet. Are you listening? And I'm telling you, if Jesus is the pattern, and He is, I look at it again. Did I ever read it? Yes, I did. Okay. Hallelujah. Back to Hebrews 12, verse 2 again. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Well, what do we see? You have a multitude, 5,000 men. No telling how many women. Children, they're hungry. What do we have? He says, you feed them. We haven't got enough to feed them. What do you have? Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Isn't that right? Bring them here to me. And he doesn't tell the massive multitude, now I'm going to pray and ask God to bless this, and I need you to stand and confess it in. Now it might be Tuesday of next week. You might be getting... No, what happens? What happens? It just starts coming, doesn't it? Now, are we supposed to stand and confess it in? Do you understand who's talking to you? Absolutely. I've been teaching on this for years. But the point of it is, we are not supposed to stay there. That's where we begin. That's where we begin. We are supposed to get to the place where, oh, you need bread right now? You need fish right now? Here, let me pray. Start passing this out. And I mean right there. That's revival. I don't know if you know it yet or not. That's revival. The bread and fish, whatever it is you need. Whatever it is you need. We're just here. It's available to you today. See, this lady, I appreciate her coming. She's right now, we can't get her out of the wheelchair. That is so much not God. We're going to keep pressing in until the day comes. Every wheelchair, first time, every time. That's just the way it's going to be. And it's going to be so normal. It's not to us. You know what he told me one time? He said, the day's coming. You're going to look back on these days and you're just going to laugh that it ever seemed so hard. Amen. Isn't that true? Yeah. I watch Lily right now, you know, our little 9-month-old granddaughter. She's close to walking. She'll come up. She'll get a hold of the chair. She's standing there just wobbling. And we're going, come on, baby. Come to Papa. Come on, baby. Just grinning. And she thinks she can do it. She takes one step, smack. And to her, she tries it again. She tries it again. And see, to her right now, that's going to be such a great accomplishment to live by walking and not by falling. And it'll be a great day. And I mean, we have the cameras ready every time. We're ready. You know, Sue, get the camera, baby. She's going to walk. You know, she hasn't done it yet. But see, the first time she does, that's like a mountain moving accomplishment, isn't it? A year from now, it'll be nothing. She'll be walking all the time and running around, and we'll be trying to catch her. What seems difficult now, she'll laugh. Oh, you mean I ever thought it was hard to walk? Well, right now, everything that we're doing, calling in the lost, confessing, praying, fasting, doing the message, we're in training. How did God say that to Dave? He says, look, you're on your way to the Olympics. Don't be playing. You don't have time to be playing in the schoolyard. Don't be a bully in the schoolyard either. You're in training for the Olympics. I have a gold medal for you to win. It's called revival. Amen. Press towards that. Now, it may seem difficult right now, but you keep pressing towards that mark, and one day we're going to do it, and it'll become like breathing the air. The just shall live by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith, not by sight. And it'll just become normal every day. Church.
Hallelujah.
As Dave would say. That's what Jesus called normal church. Now, just let's look at it one last time. This is my first closing. Go to Matthew somewhere. I'll find it. Was it 15? I don't know. Huh? Thank you, sir. Matthew 15. I'm getting predictable. Or maybe I've been predictable for a while. That's okay. Yes, sir. Matthew 15:29. Now, this is a picture of the revival. When we say that the assignment at this church is very narrow, this is what He has called us for. This right here, and thank God we have the pattern in the New Testament. This is the kind of revival He's called us for in Tulsa, where they can bring every person out of the hospitals. They can bring them from as far away as they want, from other towns, other cities. This is the kind of revival we're called to. This, you need to see this I do too, till we live it, breathe it. This is it. Okay? Matthew 15:29 says, Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him. Now, great multitudes. Get a picture in your mind. A multitude might be 5,000 men with the women and children. What is a great multitude? Maybe 100,000. In India, I've seen those pictures where even now, 250,000, 300,000. I mean, they just disappear. You know, they'll put up all those lights, you know, on poles, but eventually the faces just disappear into the darkness because there's just so many. I mean, see meetings like that. Dave saw it in a vision form where the headlights were disappeared over the horizon. They're bringing the lame and the sick and the halt and ambulances and every kind of way. So here it is. Great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb. Oh, I love it. Maimed. They're missing a part. Many others, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet. Do you love this? And He healed them. Them who? Far as I can tell, them all. He healed them. It's just that simple. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw. Now see, He's doing it by faith. Everything's being done for Him. He's living by faith. If He's our pattern, He's living by faith, is He not? But His faith allowed them to see. He's doing it by faith. Been so much that the multitude wondered when they saw. See? We're supposed to be the ones living by faith to the point that Tulsa can see. Jesus didn't say just go preach the kingdom and then if they don't believe you, wipe the dust off of their city from off your shoes. He said no. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils and raise the dead, and then if they won't believe you. We have not yet demonstrated the kingdom to this city. But we're going to. How do you know it? By faith! Oh, sorry. I did it again. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole. The maimed to be whole. Say it out loud. The maimed to be whole. Think about that. Now, maimed, that's the same word. When Jesus said, same Greek word, when He said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Same word. This means they came missing something. They didn't have a hand, they didn't have an arm, they didn't have a leg. I read to you out of Azusa, where a guy came that had been missing his arm for like 10 years. And they watched it grow out in a matter of minutes. Boy, now, that's going to mess with a lot of folks' religion right there. But it allows them to see. And that's what Jesus said. I mean, that's what this passage says. His faith allowed the multitudes to see. Glory to God. We need to demonstrate these things and let Tulsa see that Jesus is alive. Anyway, let me finish it. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Boy, they will again too. They'll glorify Jesus. Boy, it's more important than ever that we come into this because now, it seems like on every front, we've got these, you know, the high priestess of television now teaching this audience of over 300 million. Yes. Over 300 million being indoctrinated with this New Age stuff. You know, we got guys who's been in the camps with the some of the mightiest ministries in the land, and all of a sudden they're preaching Jesus is not the Christ to the Jew, not the Messiah to the Jew. We're coming into a terrible, terrible time. Boy, if anybody needs to live by faith and not by sight, it's us. And I mean, sure, that the devil's after you to get you to quit praying and get you to quit doing everything, you know. Well, what would you do if you was him? He's got to stop you if he can. Well, your first level of victory, the first impasse you got to get past is the impasse of falling out of prayer. You got to get past that one first. Keep on keeping on. Yeah, but I feel worse. That's okay. He's just getting another impasse out of you. There's another thing in you that's not like Jesus. It's about to go away. Glory to God, you know. Keep on. Let Him conform you to the image, and me to the image of His Son. Amen. All right. I think that's enough for tonight. Does that help you understand now why we have to live by faith during this dispensation until we get a new heaven and new earth? Living by sight was what got man out of the garden. God's grace. Now, the only way back in is living by faith. Got to believe what God said, no matter what it looks like. What making me laugh? Boy, Adam and Eve had it made in the shade. I mean, they had everything provided by sight and by need, and the only thing they had to live by faith on was God's Word to prevent the bad stuff. In other words, in order to get the bad stuff, that's when you had to abandon faith. It's just the opposite of what we have. You know, the whole world lies in wickedness, the Bible says. I mean, you know, there's destruction and sin and death. And now, it's just almost it's like the flip-flop, you know. To get your healing, which is what God originally would have had by sight, now you got to get it by faith. But I was thinking, there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. It's not always going to be like this. It's going to be back like, I'm going to provide by sight. And what I'm telling you right now, that faith part, whatever God says, believe that. If He says don't eat of that, don't eat of it. He says don't mess with that, don't mess with that. That'd be a good way to live right now. Anyway. But it's like the mirror image, you know, the devil's is. Oh, man. Anyway. I'm going to teach it all again. Just open your Bibles. No. Hallelujah. Okay.